Hello, welcome to Oxcast. It's your weekly guide to what's on in and around Oxfordshire. I'm Alwyn Collinson.
I'm Anais Higgins.
And this week we're going to be kicking off with some theatre. Theatre fans this week can head to the Oxford Playhouse this week to see a play about lost innocence. One of my favourite subjects, but not in a, you know, creepy way. Blue Remembered Hills, which is adapted, of course, from the famous television drama, is on from today until Saturday. It's about a group of seven children playing in the Forest of Dean and the touching, hilarious and ultimately tragic turn that events take. As in the original, this production uses an all-adult cast acting as children, so you don't have to actually endure any child actors at any point during the production, which I'm sure we're all very...
It adds another level to it as well. Yeah, I saw Antony and Cleopatra acted out...
By children?
By adults pretending to be children in a schoolyard, playing on the hierarchies, which I think they do as well.
Yeah,
in here, kind of...
Absolutely,
those
yeah.
relationships which already build as a child, and you can see adult relevancies.
It's funny, isn't it, how cruel... It's a sort of Lord of the Flies thing, isn't it? How children are really cruel and... sort of like have a very acute eye for who's in charge, who's like the victim, that sort of thing. But, you know, I'm not going to give away too much. But anyway, these guys have received rave reviews for believable performances. The Guardian said they make it look like child's play. Anyway, that's on until Saturday.
And it's also only an hour long, so you can see
Is
that.
It?
Yes, you
oh,
can
brilliant.
See that. Get out, still enjoy the sunshine,
yeah.
Go out for dinner, go out for cocktails, you can make a whole evening of it.
What else might you choose to do with your evening on one of these lovely summer nights?
Well, on a lovely summer night, there are plenty of things you could be doing, and one of them should be Oxford's outdoor cinema.
This genuinely makes me happy.
Yes, I think there was one a couple of years ago. I definitely feel like I missed out on one a few years ago, and now it's back. And it's on top of Malmaison Hotel at the Oxford Castle.
As all good things are.
There are stripy deck chairs, colourful beanbags, films aplenty, including classics like Casablanca and The Italian Job, and latest hits like Argo, Oscar-winning films, and Life of Pi.
Cool. Now, we found out something slightly interesting in the run-up to these, didn't we? Which is about how many of these films you've seen.
Not me. Not me.
Oh, not
I haven't seen many of them, but Orla, who works in the office and is our kind of film connoisseur, has seen all but one of the films programmed.
All but one of the films, yeah.
So they are really cult classics.
Yeah, they are classics, it's true. And things like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Top Gun, I saw was on there. You know, all the great 80s hits.
Of which I've seen none.
Of which you've seen not a single one.
And the outdoor cinema, Cot Screens, is on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays until mid-July. You should book in advance. The capacity doesn't look huge and the first night is already sold out.
There we go. Go book it now, but listen to the rest of the podcast first. What about other fun in the sun on an evening? Well, I'm not going to answer my own question because that's the way it works. I like the sound of my own voice. We have something behind the college walls of Worcester College. Is hidden a gorgeous garden and, more importantly, a lake. So we can go along and see a play this week. It's The Merchant of Venice, and we sent along our Daily Info reviewer, Seamus Gregan, last night, and we're going to hear more from him.
Hello, Seamus. Thank you very much for joining us. Could you tell us a bit about what was unusual about this performance of A Merchant of Venice?
Well, it's actually on the lake in Worcester College grounds. Every year, the college theatre company do a performance in the gardens, but this one, obviously, being set in Venice, they took advantage of the fact that they have this as a backdrop for their production.
Okay, so was it on, like, they got punts or a floating stage?
So it's sort of a pontoon built out into the lake.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But they incorporate some boats, and there's a bridge over a sort of a lake as well that is obviously very useful as well.
Oh, that sounds absolutely amazing. Okay, so the staging sounds great. Did the performances live up to it?
Yeah, they really did. You're always concerned with that sort of situation that maybe the situation will overawe performances, but everybody was actually fantastic, and it's just it's hilarious.
Really?
Which is, yeah, they ham it up just enough for Shakespeare, especially the Prince of Morocco and the Prince of Aragon got some fantastic laughs.
Brilliant. Okay, so if you had to give it a stars out of five, how many would you give it? Five out of five. Wow, that is a very...
No, there is only one thing you change about it, and that is that you'd like it to be slightly warmer at the end of the performance because you were outside, but apart from that, you really couldn't improve on the evening.
Wow, that's... Absolutely stunning recommendation there. And we'll have to tell Worcester College players to get on and shift the weather on to get it a bit warmer. All right.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for talking to us, Seamus. That is,
no, not a problem.
Yeah, and thank you so much for giving us your impression. So there we go. People must hurry to see it.
You can go and see The Merchant of Venice at Worcester College this week from Wednesday until Saturday, the 8th of June. And now I must unfortunately tell you that advance sales have actually sold out for this play,
yeah.
Which means... don't get your hopes down. If the weather is good, you can still go along and sit on the ground and watch people performing on the Pontoon Lake business. So check at Worcester before the show, and tickets will be available from the box office.
And there's a great review also from Seamus on the website, which already in the first few lines made me really want to go see it. Go and read that, and sure. Seamus will sell it to you even more.
The Oxford A Cappella All-Stars Out of the Blue are back this week. They're the only boy band made entirely of current Oxford students. At least, I really hope that's the case, because, like, a posh JLS would just be the worst thing.
If there are other ones, they're not really marketing themselves well enough.
Exactly. The lineup changes every year to keep the faces and voices fresh. But this group do have a pretty impressive pedigree as a kind of, you know, as a concept. They were Britain's Got Talent finalists, and they've had sold-out shows right across the country, including a big sell-out show in Edinburgh last year.
And they toured as well. They've been to America recently.
They've gone to America.
Yeah, they definitely take their show abroad, and they do workshops for kids. You know, it's really kind. They're lovely boys.
I have to say, I've seen them in there. They wear kind of school uniform costumes, basically, that no Oxford student would ever wear if they weren't, you know, doing kind of vocal remixes of Lady Gaga. Actually, I have to say, they are pretty fantastic.
And they've got some great moves. Lovely dance moves.
Lovely dance moves. Yeah, wiggling all over the stage.
Yes, very, very funny. They enjoy themselves.
All right, that sounds good. If you don't believe us, do go up and look at on YouTube some of their great hits there. They do an amazing cover of Poker Face, which I just think was absolutely hilarious. They'll be on Friday and Saturday night at the New Theatre.
Can't wait. Moving on, this weekend is Oxford Pride.
Good, good.
The festival has kind of been going on since last weekend. There's been various events. There's some art galleries hosting some art made by the LGBT community and so on. And so the festival's obviously all about unity and diversity.
Aren't those sort of contradictory things?
Yes, but that's why they're excellent. You can be unified through diversity.
Okay, fair enough. We're all outcasts together, as
I'm it all for unity and diversity. So the Pride Festival begins, the parade begins from 12 p.m. on Cornmarket Street and goes down to around Oxford Castle and then to the Oxpens Field where the party continues, which is around where the ice rink is. And there's gigs and bands on all day, several stages. There's a fun zone with jungle obstacle courses, a climbing wall and a rodeo bull. And also, of course, and a variety of stalls and bars and so on. So it should be lots of fun. And
a big old diverse festival.
Yes, lots of people probably wearing pink rainbows. That's what Pride's all about.
Wearing rainbows. Will these be kind of mythical characters with cloaks made of dreams and, you know...
Go along and see, Alan. You might need a reality check.
Well, I'm not going to get any reality check because I'm going to go this weekend to a place that is a pure fantasy land, and so should you. It's a world of opera, specifically Garsington Opera, which is now on in the beautiful grounds of Wormsley Manor, which is just on the border of Oxfordshire, so it just fits in this podcast. It's basically like Glyndebourne without having to sell your firstborn child for a ticket. Garsington is actually genuinely amazing. It's in this gorgeous palatial grounds. You can take a picnic along absolutely sit by the lake. There's basically they do fantastic opera in a specially purpose-built theatre which is on the grounds, and then in the interval, which is about an hour and a half long, which is it's very civilised length, I think, for an interval, you take your picnic along, you sit down in the sun or under the marquees if it's raining, which is also pretty likely, let's be honest, and you eat your picnic. There's a lot of Fortnum and Mason's hampers on display, but you can take your own along. It's okay.
Homemade Tesco brand bread ham sandwiches.
Absolutely. You need to stick it up for the common man there, and it's not that I'm saying you're common, although.
Or a man.
Yes, just not a podcast will go by without a lot of insults. This year, Garsington are performing a trio of slightly more obscure operas. By which I mean that Anise probably will never have heard of them.
I'll have heard of the people who composed them.
Yeah, obviously. There's Mozart's The Abduction from the Seraglio. There we go. Rossini's Maometto Secondo.
And Alwyn did have to ask how to say Seraglio, by the way.
If you don't know what a Seraglio is, and frankly, join the club, it's a like an area where the members of a female Turkish household used to live under the Ottoman Empire, so like the place where the harem hung out, you know, all divans and kind of sherbet and half naked ladies. I've no idea if there'll be any of that actually in the opera, but you know, fingers crossed. I love sherbet. Finally, and slightly less sexily, there'll also be Engelbert Humperdinck's I'm going to finish saying his name. Engelbert Humperdinck, best name. Hansel und Gretel. And I don't know if you can guess what that would be in English.
Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, check out the linguist here. So they are doing, Gossington are doing performances on evenings running from now until the 20th of July. And so for full performance times, you can head to www.gossingtonopera.org.
Fantastic. Well, after the weekend, how about some sort of arty installation? On Monday opens at the Albion Beatnik store in Jericho, an exhibition called Nothing to Say. Kind of an ironic title, because it's in a bookshop with plenty to say.
Okay. What are they advertising it as?
Well,
what's going to be happening?
It's being called as a kind of happening.
It's happening.
It's in the basement of the bookshop, and it was going to feature publications, spoken word, and kind of tour. It's not very explicit what it's about. I think it's meant to be more kind of experiential. But you will be able to see, hear, and buy new literature. And on Monday, there's a drinks reception to open the installation. And then next Thursday, there's a spoken word event there as well. And the exhibition is kind of trying to capture the public's imagination about the possibilities of modern-day literature, particularly in response to e-books in the internet and the way that we sort of consume literature and copy, and how literature can sort of fight back against that.
Wow, that's quite a diverse range of things.
It sounds very, very interesting.
I'm not sure. I don't think the Albion Beatnik bookstore seats about, like, 15 people, doesn't it? So it's like...
I think it's a kind of walk-in, walk-around. But there is a lovely kind of cafe tea shop. If you haven't been there, it's well worth having some tea in a china cup and some cake on offer as well.
In trendy Jericho.
In trendy Jericho.
Where hipster Annie likes to hang out. Did you like it before it was cool?
No, I'm not a hipster.
You're so hipster that you skipped right over a thing that's happening on Sunday night.
Sunday, that is so last week.
and Annie doesn't even do Sundays anymore. Her week is becoming less and less packed. This is some blues, which is on in the Bullingdon Arms on Cowley Road.
They do lots of blues there.
They do, and it's jazz. I love it, personally. Great musical genre.
It's old man music, though, isn't it, Alwyn?
Look, just because I'm sitting here in my belt and braces and my trousers done up to my nipples doesn't mean that you can call me an old man. Actually, in this case, it is a very old man performing, in a sense. It's a live performance by a guy called Mud Morganfield. Now, this guy is the eldest son of legendary, absolutely legendary blues and jazz master Muddy Waters, a name to conjure with if Anais knew who he was. He's the second best name blues player in
history. Who's the first? Hugh Laurie.
I'm literally stricken. I'm not literally stricken dumb, otherwise.
So who is the best then?
Howling Wolf! What a name!
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Hugh Laurie.
Hopefully, listeners, you have more of an appreciation of the finer blues music in life. And hopefully also musical ability passes down to the eldest son, like, you know, kingship in a fairy tale. And Mud Morganfield will be as good at singing the blues as his father. Anyway, that's on at Sunday night at the Bullingdon.
Well, now that I've done Monday's offering, let's go straight to Tuesday.
Yeah, where... rounding up your week before you come back on Wednesday and we tell you what to do with your next week all over again.
A daily info week does go from Wednesday to Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's the way we like it.
The Bigger Boat Film Quiz, it happens monthly at the Big Society on Cali Road.
Which is really fun, if you haven't been.
Yes, we went last month. We ranked about 10th and I think over 20 groups. So we're quite average, but it's all about taking part.
It's our motto, daily info, quite average.
It was really hard, though.
It's a film quiz, really, in case you didn't get this, by the way.
Sorry, it is a Bigger Boat Film Quiz. So to give you a taste of the rounds, last time there was a round where we had to identify, I think it was Thai versions of Hollywood posters.
Which is surprisingly difficult, because they, like, repaint them in that oil painting style of, like, weird, like, 70s and 80s music posters. And they bore no relationship whatsoever to the, like, the actual...
There's often additional elements which might not feature in the film.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also a round, an observation round, where we watched a clip from a film and then had to answer questions, see how much attention
we
were paying.
Really good. Honestly, the whole thing is just, it's such a big production, because they have, like, a big screen, they have the delicious fried chicken and cocktails in the Big Society, and then you can watch the... Honestly, we did rubbish, utterly awfully, at this quiz, and we still had a great time.
Had a good time. And also, if you shout loud enough, the quizmaster does give clues, and on the subject of clues, they also release clues on their social media. So if you find the Bigger Boat Film Quiz on Facebook and Twitter, you will know already a few hints about what might come up next Tuesday. And you will need to know, because last month, there was a round on film directors from New Zealand. And there are so many.
Yeah, there are so many more than you would have ever guessed, basically. I mean, I could name the number one, Peter Jackson, and that was basically it. But it turns out there are a host.
According to Wikipedia, there are 68.
68?
Yeah, Wikipedia told me that today.
There are 68 people in New Zealand. That's a film director. That's right. Talented chief.
If you want to improve your knowledge and prove your knowledge of films, go to the Bigger Boat Film Quiz at the Big Society. It starts 7:30 next Tuesday, but happy hour is between 5 and 7, so get in early.
Pro tip. Yeah, that's right. I mean, by the time I'd had four of their cocktails, for the same price as two, because, you know, obviously, I didn't care, or indeed know, whether we were winning.
You weren't even facing the screen, are we? The quiz was on.
I was watching the pictures in my head. All right, now that we've made me sound like a psychopath, I think that's all we have time
that
for.
That is all we've got time for.
Wrapping up the week. But anyway, if you have enjoyed or listening or hearing about any of the events in this podcast, we can tell you more. Because you just need to go to
www.dailyinfo.co.uk,
which is where you can find details of all of these things. Plus, you can also find jobs, rooms, things for sale, or indeed to sell your own stuff. We have a selection of all the things you need to do to live in Oxford, as well as things to do in Oxford. But yeah, go to Daily Info, find out more.
And connect with us on social media. We are on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford, and search Facebook for our page, Daily Info Oxford.
What a surprise. I wanted to go with Throat Warbler Mangrove, but unfortunately it was
taken. We're not going to let you do that.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's all we've got time for.
Thank you for listening.